possibly out of arrogance, sometimes ignorance, living in sin. I'm so comfortable with the way life is right now. I don't need it. And people have so often gone through life looking at amazing things, worshipping all sorts of people, and completely rejecting any encounter with the risen Christ. And this morning we want to discover the joy of knowing the risen Christ. I regret what I missed at Kings Canyon. But today, at this Easter Sunday, I don't want to miss anything of the ultimate sight and the beauty and the power and the greatness of what it means to focus on the resurrection of Jesus, where there is great joy, where our lives will be challenged to give unending worship to our God. The last chapter of Matthew, as we read half of it a few minutes ago, gives us a view into the glory of the risen Christ. And in this view, I just want to highlight this morning three characteristics of our risen Lord. We see the power of his resurrection, the peace of his resurrection, and the purpose of his resurrection. We know that there are multiple interactions of Jesus with people after his resurrection. In all four Gospels there's an account, but Matthew records just two appearances. And the first one is to the women who came to the tomb. And it says Jesus met them and greeted them in verse 9. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. The second appearance we didn't read is in Galilee in verse 17. And it says, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. And it seems obvious to me that Matthew's message here in these both of these appearances of the resurrected Lord is that a very fair response from humanity is to worship the resurrected Saviour. If you recall earlier, the very beginning of the ministry of Christ, when he was about 30 years old, he was tempted by Satan. And Satan said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus said, be gone from me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You see, the resurrection of Christ, it guarantees, it certifies that Jesus is the Son of God. Not like we are children of God. No, Jesus is God. And when he's raised from the dead, humanity, people, men and women are bowing at his feet and they are worshipping him. And he receives it without rebuke. And Easter Sunday is a great time to be convicted. Or maybe just to reaffirm our conviction that Jesus Christ is no mere prophet. Is no mere man, no mere angel. Oh, but Jesus is God and worthy of worship from everlasting to everlasting. Through him and for him all things exist. In view of the glory of the risen Christ, it should result in us to worship. So those three things I want to look at this morning, the power of the risen Christ, the peace and the purpose. As you go down to verse 18, they're very famous, they're very well-known words in, as a Christian, as a church, we should know them. In verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. I wish there were enough words or the right words that I couldn't think of this week just to picture that, that of all the presidents and prime ministers and armies of the world, no one has any authority like Jesus does. All authority has been given to the risen Christ, all of it. He has the power and the authority to intervene in your life. He has the power and authority to change the circumstances at any time in your life. He knows about every wave of every ocean that's going to crash. He knows about every raindrop that's going to fall. The risen Christ is greater than we could ever imagine. Every star that comes out, the moon, the sun, everything falls under his authority and his reign. And here is the Easter message from believers to the world, that the risen Christ is my King. That a reasonable response from me to the risen Saviour is to give my life to him. That he would rule and reign in my life. The Easter message is that there is forgiveness for your sins because Jesus paid the price on Friday and he defeated sin and death on Sunday. And God wants to empower us through the Holy Spirit to live a holy and righteous life. A life that is according to the kingdom values and priorities that Jesus spoke about, that Jesus taught about. And that's why he says when you make disciples, teach them. Teach them to obey the things that I've commanded you. The risen Christ has all authority, not only on earth, but also in heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I want to just think about this for the moment in the context of the angels. Matthew says in verse 2-4, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were like white as snow. The fear of him from the guards, it shook them and they became like dead men. I don't know exactly maybe what all the meaning of this is, but if nothing else, it's that the angels stand in the service of the risen Christ. I'm not sure what you picture when you think about angels. We've spoke about angels in recent time here, especially when we did a series in Isaiah. There are some fearful passages of scripture that speak about angels. But if our image is just the little chubby cherubim like fluffy wings and small and meek and mild, if so, then you're not really going to be impressed by the authority that the risen Christ has of all heaven. But if you can imagine how powerful an angel is and how many there are, that you can grasp the fact that all angels offer Jesus unquestioned obedience. And as we start to imagine what it means that the risen Christ is the commander of countless angels who are mightier than men and indestructible because of their immortality. And when they gather for salvation and destruction, there is no tariffs that people can put on them. There are no nuclear weapons that can be used against them. Please consider these biblical images of the risen Christ and his angels to shape our thinking about the authority of heaven given to the risen Saviour. Matthew 24, it says, then there will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the heaven end of heaven to the other. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. 2 Thessalonians, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 3 says, Jesus Christ has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities and powers subject to him. When the angel in Matthew 28 descends, I don't know what that looks like. It looks like lightning. Clothes white as snow. There is shaking. All authority in heaven has been given to the risen Christ. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these indestructible angels obey every command, every word that comes out of the mouth of Jesus. Secondly, the peace of the risen Christ. The angel tells the women, as we read, not to fear. Very common when people interact with angels. People fear. It's scary. The angel says, do not fear. But it says as they ran to do what the angel told them to do, they went with fear and great joy. And this wonderful thing happens. It says Jesus intercepts them. I wonder why. Here they are. They're on their way to obey. They weren't doing the opposite. They didn't need to be rebuked or challenged again. But Jesus intercepts. He says, do not be afraid. He greets them. And I think he stops them in order to give them peace. In order to give them peace. You know, that Sunday morning would have been a crazy time. Here they were going to the tomb, not to find an angel to give them instructions. No, they were expecting to see Jesus in the tomb, dead. But here they are met with an angel that Jesus is risen. And he gives them a message to go. And I don't know what was going through their mind, but they had fear. Perhaps they were fearful that their brothers, the disciples, were locked away in a house, fearful for their lives. Maybe they were thinking, oh, we don't want Jesus to find them the way that they are. I don't know. But Jesus wants to take away their fear and assure them and give them peace. The risen Christ is not only all-powerful, friends, but kindness beyond human measure and gives a peace that is beyond our imagination. In John 20, we read there in the interaction between the risen Christ and the disciples that they were locked away and that they were fearful. And Jesus appears amongst them. Not to rebuke them. Not to tell them off. He says, "A peace. Peace be with you." Today, the peace of the resurrected Lord is available to you. And maybe you are on your journey of faith and you've been a Christian for a long time and you've made that decision and saved into the kingdom. Wonderful news. But circumstances are just so difficult that you've made choices to start using your own wisdom and your own strength and try to get through. Oh, maybe I'll start trusting God much more in 2025. I just got to get through what I'm dealing with now. There's no peace in that. Oh, what we find is distress and worry and fear. Maybe today, for the very first time, you're feeling like there's a strong invitation and conviction to say to God, I am a sinner. I have no peace in my life. I need to accept the gift of Jesus as my Saviour and Lord. Because in that place, you will not find judgment from God. You will find peace with God. When you make a decision by faith to be forgiven of your sins, you will find peace with God. And to emphasize this peace, this love and kindness, Matthew leaves it ringing in our ears at the end of his letter, his account, by quoting the words of Jesus, "I am with you always. I am with you always. To the very end of the age." And that brings us to the purpose of the risen Christ this morning. The risen Christ is infinitely powerful and brings immeasurable peace. And now we get a view into the purpose of the risen Saviour. I don't think people generally admire or worship others who have no purpose, who don't know where they're going. You look at the way the sports people and movie, right, the way that they're adored and worshipped at times. And you see, Jesus has a purpose. And with his power and his peace, we have a reason to admire and worship the risen Christ. Verse 19, we see that purpose when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." The purpose of the risen Christ is to build his church, to make his authority known amongst every nation. And our mission, both individually and together as a church, is his purpose. That's why he said, "I'm with you always." He aims to fill his kingdom with worshippers from all around the world. And he is unwavering in this great purpose. And we must use our limited time on earth obedient to what Jesus told us to do. And collectively as his church, and any church with a Christian church with an ounce of integrity, should set out strategically to make disciples. That's what Jesus has told us to do. That's his purpose for you and for me and for his church. He told his followers, you are the salt and the light of the world. You're not the salt and the light of the world to hide that, but you're to shine that light. We are to tell people about Jesus. Not just at Easter time, but this is the time, isn't it? Tell people, this is what Jesus has done for you. Not everyone will believe. People will reject that. But this is our purpose, the purpose that Jesus has for us. Make disciples. Tell people to come into a real relationship with God. There is only one way. There is an opportunity for you to know God, to be changed, the way that you think and the way that you live. And when people come to faith, come to a place in their life where they make a decision, we are responsible then to make disciples. It's not just a one-off decision and then we leave people. No, when people make a decision for Jesus, we are told as a church to build people up, disciple one another. That's why we come together on a Sunday. One of the reasons we come together is to teach God's word. That we don't stay like immature in our faith. Why we have small groups. So that we can care and pray for one another. That we can experience God working in our life. Which helps us trust him more and more in our everyday. Infinite power, immeasurable peace, and this ultimate purpose. Will you close your eyes this morning as we come to the end of this message on this Easter Sunday in 2024? And perhaps your appetite for the character of the risen Lord has wavered over the years. You made a decision for Jesus, and that has saved you into a relationship for eternity. But in the day-to-day circumstances of life, your appetite and desire to see the character of the risen Lord be true in your life has wavered. And this morning, just getting a glimpse again of the risen Lord has reminded you of his greatness, his love, and his purpose that he has placed on you. That wherever you are in life, God wants to use you to tell others about Jesus. Or maybe today this is the first time that God is stirring in your heart a desire to experience salvation. To see his character become your character. To know what it feels like to be forgiven of your sin and that burden just lifted off your shoulders. And right now you sense an opportunity to confess to God. Don't hesitate this morning. Don't hesitate. God, I am a sinner. In need of a Saviour. And I acknowledge that Jesus paid the price for my sin. I want to worship you, because that is a reasonable response to the risen Lord, to worship you each and every day and to trust you with my life. I desire from today to live for you, to live according to the priorities of the kingdom. And I recognize that I can only do that through being empowered by the Holy Spirit to change me, the way that I think, the way that I live, to become more like Jesus. Bring me into your kingdom, that I may live for your purposes. That's the good news. It's made available to you today. You don't have to decipher it. You don't have to think too hard about it, but you need to make a decision. I ask you this morning, if that is real for you, if that is a decision you want to make, that you have made, just unashamedly, just put your hand up. And make it a statement today that this is a day that God is changing me, that God has welcomed me into his kingdom. Don't hesitate today. Don't think that life will be forever. God has a purpose for you, and it starts with you accepting Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord. Our Father in heaven, what a blessing and a privilege to call you Father, to belong to your kingdom, to be forgiven of our sins. Oh, what a privilege to know Jesus Christ as my Saviour and Lord. Oh, the peace that comes with that, the power and the purpose for this life. Give us the courage to be able to go into this week amongst our family, amongst our school colleagues and university students and work colleagues and friends, and, oh Lord, not to back down, not to be ashamed of this good news, oh, but to make it known that Jesus loves people, that God has made a way for us to be made right. Lord, we ask that if that is challenging people today in this place, Father, we ask you would work to convict and challenge the heart of the lost here this morning. You have called us to make disciples. Empower us and help us to do that throughout this week, throughout the rest of this month and this year. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.